About a simple phrase at the end that says, they shall walk and not faint. They shall walk and not faint. In the scriptures, when it talks about fainting, it's not just getting dizzy and falling over. But more than often, fainting in the scriptures speaks of depression. Did you know that? Or sadness, or heaviness in your heart, or a sense of hopelessness. And if you're honest with yourself, you have battled this. Because I have. Because as God is working, the enemy is still working against you. So I want you to think about this. And by the way, I did introduce my wife, Luisa there, Perez. My wife of 26 years. And if you say hello to her and her back is towards you, she cannot hear you. Because she has two hearing aids, she reads lips. So she's not being a snob, okay? So if you say hello to her, make sure she sees you. So whenever her and I have a good fight, she has to read my lips, so she has to see my face. So I want you to hear this tonight. If I were to ask you which is greater, the eagle or the goose, most of you would say, well, you know, the eagle is mighty, the eagle is powerful, the eagle is majestic. The eagle looks so cool. The eagle is just, he's our national symbol. That is the most awesome bird ever. Eagles are like the superheroes of the bird world. They're the Avenger of the bird world. And they are powerful. They are mighty. They are majestic. They are everything that we want them to be. And if you compare the two, it's like comparing a super trimmed down athlete who's powerful and strong to a chubby guy with a beer gut. Because geese aren't necessarily cool looking. They're kind of floppy looking. They sound awful. And they seem to have little purpose. So in this corner, you have the eagle. I want you to think about the eagle for a minute. The eagle is known. First of all, it's the coolest looking bird ever. But it's powerful. It has a powerful beak that can crush the enemy in any way. It has sharp talons that can rip open metal even. It has keen eyes that can see up to 2 miles away. The eagle is a fast flyer. It can fly up to 100 miles an hour. But also the eagle has the ability to defy the storm. When the storms come and the winds come and the rains come, the eagle has the ability to ride above the storm so that it breaks through the clouds and then it just rides on heat thermals and it can stay there all day just riding heat thermals. They have a way of defying the storm and living in the heights. But also the eagle has an ability to renew its strength. It has the ability to, when it goes into molting season where it loses its feathers and it falls apart and it becomes vulnerable to all other animals. It sounds like January, February, doesn't it? And it feels weak. As long as it waits faithfully, it has the ability to renew its strength. And it's good for another 50 years. And that is the miracle of the eagle. That's why Isaiah talks about the eagle. But with all of its great majestic abilities, the eagle can't do one thing that geese can. And that is fly south. They cannot make that long, trackless journey by themselves. That's why tonight I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you to think like a goose, not like an eagle, in your journey. As Americans, we're taught to just pull up yourself by the bootstraps, just man up and get it done. But I would ask you, in that season where you tried everything, how's that working out for you? There are seasons when no matter how many bootstraps you have to pull up and how strong you are, how many gifts you got, that you're going to be waiting in the fire. And it's going to take goose power, not eagle power, to get you to where you're going. Goose power speaks of perseverance. It speaks of waiting patiently without losing it. It speaks of maintaining integrity in seasons where you want to give up and just run away somewhere in your life. You must think like a goose and not like an eagle. Because eagles are short-term. They're sprinters by nature. And because the way the eagle is wired, it cannot come to its goal the way a goose can. Because an eagle is wired for speed and power and agility. It's a sprinter. And eagles are loners. It is a fact. Eagles are loners. You might see a few of them sometimes, but usually they're loners. Or they might have a mate. But they tend to accomplish their goals by themselves because they are self-sufficient and powerful. And you never see 50 eagles flying in V formation. You usually see only a couple, or maybe one lone one. But the problem with going it alone is that birds that fly alone, this is the fact, beat their wings harder and tend to grow tired quicker than when birds fly in a V formation. But also, eagles are addicted to speed and height. They love to live in the high. Every day is a winning day if you're an eagle. And they don't like flying where the common birds fly because they're made for speed and height. But let me put it to you this way. Eagles think like sprinters, not marathon runners. And there are seasons in your life where you must be a sprinter, where God just gives you the power just to move quickly, and you get through that season, and you break through, and you're on fire for God, and your hair is on fire, and you're excited. But there are seasons where what got you here won't get you there. And God is saying, you're thinking like an eagle, but I want you to start thinking like a goose. Because this trial you're going through is not going to go away tomorrow or even next week. I'm going to teach you what it means to persevere until you get through it, as long as it takes. And that's why geese fly further than eagles, because they understand perseverance. And when we get saved, we renew our strength like the eagles, and we're all excited like the eagles. But we soon find out that before us is a long journey to the promised land. And we find that we begin to understand that that journey will not happen to us if we're sprinters. It will only happen as a marathon runner. Will you take it one day at a time? Will you pace yourself? And you realize that, Lord, I'm not going to fly through this one. I'm going to walk without fainting through this one faithfully. That's what Isaiah is saying here. Anybody can be like the eagle. That's the coolest thing ever. But can you walk faithfully without fainting? That's what the Holy Spirit is saying tonight to somebody. Can you walk in your season faithfully without fainting? Without letting the bottom drop out? Without falling into deep depression and hopelessness where you lose it and your morals go out the window? That's what it means to walk without fainting. Why do many Christians faint tonight? Christians faint because after soaring in the clouds on Sunday, they get hit on Monday with the fact that, hey, you know what? This trial ain't going away right away. This problem is still here. This person still torments me. This boss is still driving me crazy. This person in my life, this family member, is really, really wearing me down. And you realize that sometimes, no matter how much you pray, it's not going to happen right away. Because God is teaching you something. He's teaching you perseverance. And perseverance is one of the hardest things to learn because you have to put up with it. You have to endure without failing and without falling. And there are seasons where you cannot live your life at Mach 9 on an emotional high every day. I wish that were true. But God is also teaching me one thing when he chose me to wait patiently, that I cannot rely on my emotions. Because my emotions go up and then they go down. Do you follow me? You cannot trust your emotions. They're great, but you cannot trust them because they change like the weather. So steady perseverance is greater than speed. You know the story of the tortoise and the hare. Steady perseverance is greater than speed. So in this corner, you had the eagle, but in this corner, you have geese. And I say geese plural because geese work together. They move in formations. Every good church has to move in formation. And geese are known because they are content. When I say content, I don't mean being content with being, you know, with not doing anything with your life or having a vision for your life. I don't mean that. I mean they're content in their situation that God is in charge and that he has it in hand and that he's going to bring breakthrough when he brings breakthrough. And that there's a joy, even in the sadness, there's a seed of joy in them that no matter what, they're going to find that joy for that day and they're not going to let it get them down because they are content. Geese are content not to have the strength and the speed and the agility and even the food that eagles eat. Because the eagle is a lot different. We find that geese are herbivores. You know what an herbivore is? It's someone who doesn't eat meat, they eat vegetation. But geese eat vegetation and they eat insects. That's their diet. But eagles are different. Eagles are more like carnivores. They're like, I'm not eating that McDonald's stuff. I'm going to Russell's Steakhouse because that's my jam right there. And they like the meat. And eagles eat small animals. They've been known to eat small deer, raccoons, rabbits, fish, you name it. They have a sweet tooth for the high-end meat. But we also find that geese are content with less speed and agility compared to the eagle. The eagle has to go fast. But geese, you've seen them. You see them here all the time, Canadian geese coming by. You can see them, you can hear them. And they're never going really fast. But they're going at a measured pace because they realize that their journey requires them to endure. So there are people who are never happy in their life. They're never content because they think that their life has to have perfect circumstances every day. Tell that to Paul in prison and Silas when they were in prison in midnight and they had no hope of ever getting out in a rat-infested prison where there's no toilet. The toilet is right there in front of you, the floor. And yet they choose a night song to sing to God in perseverance. And then the breakthrough comes through. Why? Because they're thinking like geese, not like eagles. They're persevering no matter what. And Paul got arrested many times. And if you ever read his resume was one of great suffering and persecution and shipwreck and being stoned and being left for dead and being beat up. Yet he endured. Benjamin Franklin said this, "To the discontented man, no chair is comfortable." You ever go through a season where you feel like a colicky baby and nothing helps? And no matter what you try, like the stuff you enjoyed before, you don't enjoy anymore. And it feels like your food doesn't have any taste. How many know what I'm talking about? You ever go through that? I have. And you realize that when you're going through that, it means that you're not waiting the right way. Because you're looking for a happiness that doesn't exist. Because Paul knew how to be content in any way, in every way. In Philippians 4:11, he said, "I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstance, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty, and of being in need." Then he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Think about that. Paul knew how to be rich, and he knew how to be poor. He knew how to have and how not to have. That's contentment. It's the art of knowing how to go up and go down without losing it. Some of us, because we're materialistic, because Americans tend to be materialistic, our lives consist of what we have, not of who God is. And so when we don't have what we want, we have no joy, we have no reason for being, because our identity is tied to what we own, not who God is. But real spiritual gain comes when you learn how to flow up and how to flow down, and it's cool. And if any of you have been on a mission trip, how many have been on a mission trip here? Raise your hand high, right? I think you know what I'm talking about. When you go on a mission trip, you do with what you have. And I remember in China with the Todds. The Todds are dear friend. I think I introduced the Todds to you. In China, I remember sleeping in a, it was like a teen challenge in this place, really, really poor. And at nights, you could hear the rats scurrying around. And I don't want to tell you about what the bathroom was. They actually call them squatty potties. And we lived on basically 4 hours of sleep a night. I was speaking sometimes at 6 o'clock in the morning at prayer meetings. And that's not exactly suffering. But I'm telling you that when you're addicted to the heights of the ego, where your circumstances have to be perfect all the time, you're never going to make it. Because there are seasons where no matter how prosperous and blessed you are, you're going to be down here with the average folk. And God says, learn how to flow there. Learn humility. Learn what's important. Learn who your source really is. Have you ever noticed that great musicians, I have them in my family. My wife is a great pianist. They don't take their gift for granted. Great musicians practice every single day, and some of them for hours, because they take their gift seriously. They never assume that I can get by on my ego talent and gifting. They always say, I want to be better. I want to grow more. That's why Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I'll say it again. Let us run with endurance. Endurance means you can't sprint this out. You have to pace yourself like a marathon runner. And you have to realize that things may not change right away, but they will change. You have to be patient. You have to wait patiently for God. So geese are content. But here's another thing about geese. They never fly alone. If you see a goose alone, he's lost. That's a fact. And I say this because we live in a day where there's a lot of what I call private spirituality among people who serve Jesus. Have you ever heard people say, I just serve Jesus on my own at home and watch TV? And I don't want to judge them, but it is very, very dangerous to serve God by yourself. Let me just say this first. No bird on this planet could ever migrate these amazing distances by themselves, and neither can you. In fact, up to 1,000 geese have been seen at any given time in V formation flying to their destination. Let me put it to you this way. No Christian can make it to heaven by themselves. You need your tribe. You need your formation. City Church, this is your tribe. I've had this conversation with some people sometimes where they're not sure where they need to end up, and I've told them right out, if this is your tribe, commit to it. If this is not your tribe, find where you belong and commit somewhere, because you cannot float around anywhere you want to be. You need to be plugged into a formation that holds you accountable in your life. A formation that will encourage you when you're down and pick you up and just help you with your journey. Because you can't make it to heaven by yourself. Some Christians, like, they think more like Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood was the picture, perfect poster child of the picture of the loner. Well, I don't need anybody. I'm just cool. I got my big 357 here. Want to make my day? But some Christians have that lone attitude. And this woman walked into our church once before service, and she said, I have a prophetic word for your church. And you know how you immediately get a feeling. You ever get that feeling, Ryan, right away, that something is off here? My first question to her is, where's your tribe? Who are you accountable to? And she said, God. I said, that's not an answer. Did you know that we are never accountable directly to God? God always puts somebody over us in our life to be accountable to. Because the test of authority is a test of your character, to see if you're going to learn submission to somebody. And if someone says, Jesus is my boss, they're in rebellion right there. Read Watchman Nee. He talks all about that. We are all accountable to somebody. Pastor Ron Domina is my accountability father. And I have a couple other fathers. And then Pastor Marty is also, he's like a co-pastor that I'm accountable to. If I have a struggle, I call him. And he kind of slaps me around a little bit, you know, and says, you'll get up, you'll be fine. He does it with love. But do you follow what I'm saying? We need a tribe to belong to. Something Tim DeLena said I really appreciated. And I forgot where he said it because I've heard him a few times. But he said, in our generation, we have too many choices as to where to go to church and the sermons we want to hear. I guarantee you that most of you not only hear preaching here, but you hear it on the radio, you hear it on your podcasts, and you hear it on the internet. We all have choices. But God has planted you in one place. Be faithful to the house he put you in, because that's where you're going to grow and prosper the best. Here's a scripture that says this about the danger of isolation. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all judgment. Have you ever talked to somebody who's a loner and their opinions are really, really weird? It's because they haven't been challenged by anybody. And they believe in these conspiracy theories or these weird things that have never been challenged by any other Christians. This is why it's healthy to have community. Thursday nights, we have what's called refuel nights at our church. And I roast fresh coffee. I roast my own coffee. I love it. I roast fresh coffee, and we have a great time. And at that fellowship, we have debates sometimes. One Christian will get up and say, you know what, I don't agree with that, brother or sister. Why? Because that's the place for it to happen. Because we hold our words accountable to each other. We hold our attitudes accountable to each other. But here's number three about geese. Geese always fly in disciplined formation. This is amazing. Scientists have verified that this V formation they use serves two purposes. One purpose is that it conserves their energy. Each bird flies slightly above the bird in front of him, resulting in a reduction of wind resistance. I mean, it's an amazing thing. You can't make this stuff up. This is how God made them. And the second benefit in the V formation is that it helps them communicate and coordinate with the group. And that's why fighter pilots, I live right next to an Army base, an Air Force base in Niagara Falls. You might have gone to the air show. I don't have to go to the air show because I can see it from my backyard. And I love when the Blue Angels come out in V formation. Where do you think they got that from? But this formation is the only strategy that allows them to make it great distances where an eagle cannot go. But here's one more thing about geese. Geese encourage each other in flight. And that is a powerful thing. Think about the V formation again. When the goose at the head of the V grabs the wind with the downstroke of his wings, an air pocket is created that lifts the guy behind him up. And it's like a domino effect that it goes down, 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 down until the whole formation is moved upward. And so they work together. Geese in flight make a sound like a pack of hound dogs. You ever hear geese flying overhead? They sound like hunting dogs. It's amazing. And that is on purpose because it helps them to communicate to each other and to locate each other where they are. Boy, that sounds like the way a church should work. Where we talk to each other. We don't pick up offenses. You have a problem with me? You come to me. I have a problem with you? I go to you. But it also means they work together. They join the formation. I believe that your leadership team here is one of the most efficient teams I've ever seen. They're amazing in that office. I've seen them work. But have you ever thought this idea? You don't have to be part of the office to be part of the formation. Maybe God wants you to use your gifting to help move this church forward and get involved. And don't wait to pray about it. Just go to one of the pastors and say, I want to be involved. I want to do something for God's glory. I want to make this formation go forward. I want to get to the destination where God wants us to be as a church. I believe God is calling somebody today to, to step up in your gifting, to find your place in this body, to not be a spectator that just comes on, you know, to church. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. That's what geese do when they fly. They bear each other's burdens so that the whole formation moves forward. But here's another thing about geese. They are persevering. This is my favorite part of the thing. And tonight is about perseverance. They can fly thousands of miles further than any eagle can because they persevere. Because they know that this is going to be a marathon race. And I say that to say this, that God is not after your strength, he's after your perseverance. He wants you to hang on just a little longer because breakthrough is around the corner if you wait and don't give up. Don't try to fabricate your breakthrough the way Abraham did by creating an illegitimate son from his servant girl. Don't try to fabricate a promise God never gave you. The first step of our journey is important, but the last step is even more important. Because it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. And how you finish speaks of endurance. Do you remember when you first got saved? How many of you are saved here, right? Most of you are saved, right? Were you excited? Were you on fire? You started great. And God is saying, I want you to finish just as well. I want you to persevere till the end of your journey when I call you home someday. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, it is by perseverance that the snail reached the ark. If that isn't a picture. Do you guys understand that? God brought all the creatures, so there had to be a snail there somewhere. But I wonder how long it took them to get there. I may not get there as fast as you, but I'm going to get there in the name of Jesus. Because I'm not going to quit. And I'm not going to compare myself to the cheetah who runs 66 miles an hour. I'm going to run my own race. And I'm going to run it faithfully until the Lord calls me home. This is why seven times in Revelations it says, to him who overcomes. Not to him who is strong or to him who has all the gifts, but to him who overcomes. To him that doesn't know what quit is. But they'll serve God no matter what. They'll follow him no matter what. Perseverance, not speed, brings breakthrough. I want you to think about Goliath versus Saul. All right? You have Goliath, David and Goliath on the left. David is killing Goliath. David is a kid. And he didn't know any better but just to say, you know what, I'm going to kill this guy because he's defying the name of God, and I'm going to mess him up. To defeat Goliath took eagle power. It was a single stroke of might of the Holy Ghost that just got in this young man, and he just killed the giant. But then there's a guy named Saul, who was the king. Saul was 10 times harder to deal with than Goliath. Did you know that? Sometimes we look at these big mountains, and God is saying, that's just a Goliath. You want to know the real mountain? The real mountain's Saul. Goliath was over in 5 minutes. Saul took 15 years of chasing David all around the land trying to kill him. That's a trial. And that took goose power to overcome. And God is saying tonight to somebody, stop thinking like an eagle in this trial. Think like a goose because I'm going to break through, but you got to persevere. And that picture of Saul throwing spears at David, that is accurate. It is in the scriptures. There's a time where this evil spirit would come over Saul, the Bible says. And he would just throw a spear at David while David was leading worship. Wow. And David learned how to catch the spear, not how to throw them back. He learned how to bless Saul, not to curse him. And when he had a chance to kill Saul, he wouldn't kill him. He says, no, I will not touch God's anointed. What is he doing? He's persevering. When you persevere, you don't pick up offenses. You don't pray down judgment on people. who torment you. You love them. You say, Lord, I cover them by prayer because you're going to get us through this in the name of Jesus. That's goose power, not eagle power. And that's what God wants from somebody today. He wants you to persevere in your situation. Here's something I want to close with. I'm going to pray. Today's mighty oak is yesterday's nut that held its ground. Very simple, but very true. That's what God wants from some of us. Maybe you've been thinking in terms of power and strength and how I just have to just be stronger and stronger and stronger. And God says, no, I want you to pace yourself. I want you to learn how to walk and not faint, how to be faithful with the small things that I give you. And then one day I'll give you something big to deal with. Let's stand together. I want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hope this connected with somebody this evening. Because I preach out of my own life sometimes. Lord, we love you. We love you, God. I really feel tonight, as I was just praying about this week, I felt like I want to call out those who have been battling depression the past couple months especially, or just a sense of hopelessness, or just a sense of, Lord, I can't locate myself. I don't know where I am on my journey, and it's a little scary. I feel like God wants to bring a breakthrough tonight for someone. We were not meant to live in depression. We were not meant to live in constant sadness or hopelessness. Because heaven is the opposite. The Bible says that in his presence there's fullness of joy. But the enemy would have you think the opposite. And just as when you take a plane flight and you break through the clouds and all of a sudden you realize, boy, that nasty storm is gone now and it's a beautiful sunny day above the clouds. That's what happens when God gives you a burst of revelation of what is really true and what is not. So Holy Spirit, I'm asking you tonight to speak to someone and to give them hope and to give them joy and to give them power, Lord, to get up and to stand up in the name of Jesus. If you're here tonight and you have been battling depression or hopelessness, and you're saying, Lord, I just want to be a person who perseveres. I don't want to give up. I want you to come on down right now. We're going to pray together in Jesus' name. Come down right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. I just want to agree with you in prayer. God is calling you to persevere. And maybe you've been running in your own strength and God is saying, I want you to rely on me. I want you to come down right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Father. Bless your name, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm going to teach you a prayer that I learned for myself that the Lord taught me. And then I'll lay hands on you with the pastor also. But I want you to repeat this after me, if you would, please. Lord Jesus, I refuse despair. I refuse doubts. I refuse self-doubt. I refuse rejection and hopelessness and fear. And I embrace your joy and your purpose and your perseverance on the journey and your joy and your grace. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Who else is that word for? I receive that tonight in my life. Just such a beautiful message. Lord's been speaking to me this week to encourage myself in the Lord. Thank you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I just thank you tonight for the gift that you had sent to us. I thank you, Lord, for this word. My goodness. I pray for each one that is here tonight, Lord, that you would help us to persevere. Lord, that we're not failures if we're not reaching higher heights or going faster than everyone else or keeping up with everyone else. But Lord, you want us to persevere. I pray that you will put that inside of every single one of us here tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd keep harm and hurt and bitterness and jealousy. Keep that from our hearts and our lives, God. Keep us full of who you have called us to be, I pray. Lord, and for that we give you the praise and we give you the glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. I love you. If you need prayer for anything, come right down here before we're done here. We'll love to pray with you and for you. Believe God with you. So appreciate Pastor Lou tonight. Be encouraged. Bless somebody on your way out. If you need prayer, come on down before you leave.